Monster spray.
Hey, y'all.
Monster spray, because the dark was getting scary for Iris. So. Oh.
Monsters are afraid of the smell of pancakes.
What does it have in it?
Makes sense to me.
Vanilla?
Just vanilla?
I got the closet extra good.
Vanilla water.
I did.
Hold on a second. I'll be right back.
I got it extra good. You're good. All right? Go on. Off to bed now. There's no monsters. Aww. I checked.
Kids are so gullible.
They're not in there. And then that monster spray will keep them away for days.
And I gave you that extra snuggler.
Yep, and it smells like pancakes, and they hate pancakes.
My 4-year-old nephew showed me his room the other day. And he was like, sometimes I look under my bed because I think that there's a monster under there. But he's not. So I thought that was pretty smart.
There you go.
Yeah. But it's not.
It's like, you know it's your imagination, but you're still letting it scare you just for fun.
Well, I don't know about for fun.
Yeah. It's just unavoidable.
You're listening to IdgetCast, Season 2, Episode 8, Crossroad Blues. Sam and Dean try to prevent a man from being torn apart by invisible hellhounds after having made a deal with a demon.
Welcome back to IdgetCast. I am one of your newbies, Paul Mackey, and I have with me here in Elk River, Minnesota, my lovely wife, Darcy.
Hello.
And then we have also along with us down in New Orleans, Yvette.
Hey, y'all.
And over in Texas, we have John Pavlich.
Sorry, I'm still sick.
And a special guest, the originator of the IdgetCast, once again, Allie.
Hi.
In San Francisco. Or the Bay Area. Are you in San Francisco proper?
I'm in San Francisco.
All right. In San Francisco.
Get it.
I'm a city girl.
All right.
One of these days we're going to make you like guest in the show, but you're going to have to like sing everything you say.
Oh, no.
I really like this episode.
She is the originator and the singer of the theme song, if you didn't know that already. All right. Hey, we have some excess feedback, some late feedback for Usual Suspects from Heidi, and I'm going to go ahead and read it now before we get started on everything else. Don't drop the monster spray.
It's hit the floor.
Better than the fan.
Bodies hit the floor. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, no.
All right, Iris Faye.
Monster spray. Go on.
It's our fault. We gave her the middle name that means fairies.
No, she's something else.
Okay. Heidi says, hey guys, this episode didn't leave a lasting impression on me. In fact, it was like watching it for the first time. I really don't remember it at all. I enjoy seeing Sam and Dean both coming up with the anagram while in separate interrogation rooms. I also like Dean's interactions with his public defender. They should have gotten Cliff McCormick, though.
Who?
Yvette?
He's from Veronica Mars.
Oh, God. Okay. I had no idea.
Cliff!
You know, Cliff. Cliff.
I didn't know he had a last name.
Oh. Would they really let the same lawyer defend them both? He couldn't take notes back and forth. That would help them get their stories synced if they hadn't been already. I like that Dean realizes the only way out of this is to tell the truth. And we get a call back to the shapeshifter and the fact that Dean is still wanted for that murder. And technically dead. She didn't say that, I did. Good thing the ghost decided to show itself, or Dean would have been locked up. This one was pretty good, better than I remembered, since I didn't really remember it at all. Until next time, Heidi. And hey, guess
Thanks,
what?
Heidi.
And guess what? It's next time.
Next time.
Yay.
Here we are.
Unless everybody else has any other business to attend to, we're going to get right into this. Because of a busy pledge week at PBS, where I work, it was really hectic for me. I had a lot of, and it was also an outbreak of spring, so I had some outside walking to do. It's important in Duluth, Minnesota.
It's warmed down.
warmed up over there? What am I saying?
Yes.
Warmed
up over there? Quite a bit.
It's going to cool down
not
again.
Not as stormy.
No, we had
well, we haven't had any storms
over the weekend.
We have not. We have barely any storms this
you
this
better
winter.
Knock on good. Some wood right now, mister.
Is that a euphemism?
No, no. And then the neighbor ran out the gas on its snowblower, oh. So we're really doomed.
Yeah, could be. All right, but in any case, we're going to be working with Supernatural Wiki. I've already moved one sentence because I know that it did not happen before the cold open, because nothing happened before the cold open. But they put something in chronological order when it actually happens later in the episode. I moved it to where I think it happened. It'll be good enough.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And I'm not sure if everything's true either, so call me on it if it's anything silent rings false for you, but we're going to give it a shot.
We'll see what I remember.
Okay. All right, getting started. In Greenwood, Mississippi, in August 1938, Robert Johnson is playing blues guitar at Lloyd's Bar, I think. That's what they say.
Yeah. Okay. This episode wins for best music of all any right. episode of Supernatural yeah. so far.
Yes.
Easy. Because I am not a classic rock person, but I love blues, so I was there for this.
It was good.
Apparently, so does Dean.
Yeah. There's a sound outside, and he leaves, running as he hears dogs chasing him until he takes refuge in a house. Soon after, he is found dying, mumbling about the black dogs that are after him. And that's the cold open. You get the scary, flamey thing with the title.
Yeah.
All right. In present day, Sam and Dean are researching the case of an architect, Sean Boyden, who jumped to his death from a building he designed. He had previously reported seeing a dog in the building. Thinking this might be a supernatural black dog, the boys decide to investigate, and under the guise as writers from Architectural Digest interview Sean's partner, they discover he had been working as a bartender at a bar called Lloyd's 10 years ago, when suddenly he showed great talent and became an overnight success. Sam and Dean start tracking all the complaints against black dogs in the area recently. At the house of Dr. Sylvia Perlman, who has risen to be a chief of surgery at a young age, her maid confirms the report and adds that the doctor left unexpectedly a couple of days before. Dean finds a photo of the doctor at Lloyd's, and in a hotel room, Dr. Perlman screams as she is attacked by an invisible dog.
Nice hotel room, too.
Yes.
High class.
Very much. This show specializes in high class.
Well, I really like how many different ways can you do a hotel room? They keep coming up with new ones.
I know, because any time that I'm in a motel room, it's always the same room. I don't care.
Yeah, I know.
They just move the same room around and give it to us every time.
The same picture, everything.
I know. This show does well at showing that there are different motel rooms somewhere in America, just not anywhere real.
Did this one have red shag carpet? Was that red?
It was red.
Okay.
Don't know about shag.
Because I was thinking about, because the red shag carpet reminds me of Skate City from when I was a kid. It had red shag carpet on the walls.
Did it have a motel room in the Skate City as well?
No, no motel room.
Just shag carpet on the walls.
Shag carpet, yeah.
So was Skate like City like a roller rink?
Yeah.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Oh, God, so much fun.
It was a blast.
I loved them when I was a kid. I want to find one.
I had a dream that I owned one once, but I know,
so cool.
I know. It still could happen.
Last time that we were at one, we were actually at a roller derby in the skate rink.
I remember that, yeah.
It was a very...
Yeah, good luck paying for all that insurance.
Oh, sorry, I'm going to win the lottery, so we're good.
Yeah, we're going to win that lottery first.
That's right.
Having to deal with kids hurting themselves all the time.
Well, back in the day, I don't think they did. I think...
I don't know if they really had... I think they had like some sort of... like. Basically, the ticket, by purchasing a ticket, you waived everything.
Pretty much.
It was probably on the wall. It probably wasn't even something you signed.
How hurt can you get in a roller rink, too?
Pretty bad.
Very good,
I feel like
really.
You can break your bones.
Pretty bad.
I fractured my pelvis when I was a child. So, yeah.
It's no joke.
Yeah,
it's,
it is no joke.
Well, you were competitive short track racing.
Yes,
at the time.
It was competitive short track racing, but
not just a couple skate.
People are doing roller derby. I mean,
I mean, the thing is, the roller derby people don't get hurt as much because the rules, you know, they take falls, but it's not.
They're all padded.
They're padded.
They're also wearing padding and helmets, and stuff.
And they know how to fall.
About, like,
they're prepared.
Just like
to
a regular
fall.
Sort of, you know, like a rink.
Absolutely. I was not prepared to fall, and that's why I got hurt. So.
People fall down all the time. They run into each other. They roll over each other. It's bad.
Yeah, it was
skates
bad.
Are big and clunky and metal and, you know.
Couple skate can be very vicious sometimes, I'm sure.
that's funny.
Okay.
All right, skating.
We don't have a bell anymore, ding, but ding, that was yep. really
all right,
a
sorry.
Tangent.
The tangents are what make it fun.
It was fun so far.
Whee!
Let's keep going. All right. Sam and Dean go to Lloyd's Bar, which apparently they've already been in because they said earlier in the review that, or earlier in the thing, that they found a picture there. But whatever. Okay. Sam and Dean go to Lloyd's Bar, which is situated near a crossroads.
That's a...
Huh?
Hmm?
What?
What?
Huh?
No, they... What are you...
saying, Paul?
I'm saying that earlier in this particular summary that I was reading that they found a picture of her at the bar.
No, the lady.
More badly... She had a picture in her house.
In her house.
Of her at the bar.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why they went to Lloyd's Bar.
Oh, yeah. Grammar.
We never see them go in the bar.
No.
And I don't know if the bar that Robert Johnson was in was Lloyd's Bar.
I'm vague on that, like, yeah.
That didn't...
Are they even in the same place in Mississippi?
I didn't think they were in the same... Were they all in Mississippi? Was this all in Mississippi? I thought it was a different state.
Yeah, is this even in Mississippi?
It was very vague.
It was.
I don't know if it's important.
I don't think it matters.
Okay.
I mean, you get the impression that that's probably the same crossroads.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Oh, it just has to be a crossroads.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, the next pair of episodes I'll be taking better notes because it'll be after Pledge and our technical difficulties at the station have also been resolved, I think.
Okay. Oh,
by then.
I just think it'd be weird, like, if something that happened... Like, the same thing that happened hundreds of years ago happened again at the very same place. Like, there's already so many connections. It doesn't need to be that connected. And if they don't expressly...
Yeah, I already kind of got the impression from the episode that you just had to put the, you know, plant the necessary box in a crossroads, not at that crossroads.
I guess I assumed it was the same crossroads just because, I don't know, whatever. It's I didn't
nice
really think
nice
about
symmetry.
It that much. Yeah, but I mean, it does. I mean, obviously, crossroads mythology. You could go outside your house right now and do this, I'm sure, if you had some graveyard dirt.
Well, I just think it's coincidental if the guy who, like, we haven't gone there yet, but the artist that they meet called a crossroads demon at the very same place that Robert Johnson did. Like,
but didn't later? Don't we have the guy being like, "Oh yeah, that demon just kept hanging around."
Yeah, that did.
Yeah, after he called her in like the 80s.
But couldn't that have been the same demon that Robert Johnson called back in the day that had just been hanging around that whole time? And then
sure.
She was like, I don't mm-hmm. know. I guess I just assumed it was the same. But I mean, it doesn't have to be, obviously.
I guess it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, the episode doesn't specify either way, so we can just go ahead and assume that it's the same place.
If you like.
Or not.
Where was I? I'm lost. Sam and Dean go to Lloyd's Bar. That was what I was. That was where I had my point of contention that distracted us.
They already had a picture.
Lloyd's Bar is really in the middle of nowhere.
But yeah. It is situated near a crossroads. The intersection is surrounded by yarrow, a plant used in summer.
Yarrow.
Yarrow. Sorry, there's a rhyme here on the page right next to it. So.
Oh.
See?
I see that.
The intersection is surrounded by yarrow, a plant used in summoning rituals. And at its center, they dig up a tin containing a vial of graveyard dirt, black cat bones, and the photo of George Darrow. Or Darrow.
Darrow.
They realize that the black dog are actually hellhounds, which are collecting the souls and due in payment of a deal with a demon.
Hellhounds.
Yay. Hellhounds.
So, do y'all do this? I don't know if this is like an everywhere kind of thing, but like growing up, they would give us yarrow tea for like allergies. It's supposed to help.
Hmm.
Has anybody else heard of that?
No.
Yeah, I think I've heard something about it. I mean, I've heard of yarrow before.
Yeah, I mean.
Like I'll drink like yarrow root tea helps with allergies.
I should try that.
I should try that right now.
Allergies. Mm-hmm. You know what's weird though? The last place I heard about yarrow was on a recent episode of Supernatural, so they're not.
It comes back.
Did they use it for summoning, or were they only somewhat on the same page with their previous writers?
They were not on the same page with their previous writers,
dear.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, that's good enough.
Interesting.
I mean, it's not a big, that's not like a big spoiler. It doesn't matter. But it's like, huh, I didn't realize that they reuse the same flower for not the same thing.
That's a great big show Bible to write if you're going to say what every herb does and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't actually care that much.
Maybe it's very multi-purpose in terms of mythology.
There you go. It's a multi-purpose flower.
There you go.
You can use it for allergies, summoning demons,
and something else.
a nice
who knows
smell.
What?
It grows really well in dry dirt.
And here's where I'm going to go ahead and read this line that I removed from the very beginning of the summary. In Rosedale, Mississippi in 1930, Robert Johnson makes a deal with a demon at the crossroads, asking to be the greatest blues guitarist that ever lived. The deal is sealed with a kiss. That definitely didn't go at the beginning of the summary. No.
This is one of my favorite things about this episode is the way that they use like a real urban legend like this.
Yeah.
That is so specific. Mm-hmm. And like they tie it into their story, and it's way more believable to me than their Bloody Mary, even though I love that episode. Because
it's fun that they you know, no matter how extraordinary they get. I mean, the show is called Supernatural, for crying out loud. They always try and tie it back to something that's even in a superficial sense, you know, quote unquote grounded, so that the audience can relate to it in some way.
Yeah, but I just like this is one of those stories. Like, yes, I'm so glad Supernatural did it. Like the Robert Johnson, like making a deal to be the best blues guitarist. Like that's famous. Amongst mm-hmm. guitarists, at least. There's so many other stories. Like, that's what I like about the next episode, too, is they're taking this, like, infamous story from the history books and tying it in.
So when do they make a Supernatural angle on the Black Dahlia?
Can't tell you that.
Okay.
Yeah, spoilers. Jeez, Paul.
It's probably bound to happen.
Eventually.
The boys visit George Darrow, or Darrow,
oh,
whatever.
Dear.
A painter who admits to having summoned a demon 10 years ago and having made a deal for artistic talent. After the deal, however, the demon stayed at Lloyd's Bar for a week and made deals with Sean Boyden, Sylvia Groman, and a man named Evan Hudson. George is resigned to dying, and the boys leave him to his fate.
So I have a question, y'all. You can make a deal with a demon, and you get the, like, 10 years or whatever. Are you going to do it or no? I would do it.
I would, too. Live fast, die young.
Yeah, especially if you're young and dumb enough to be already fatalist and everything, you know?
I'm young and dumb enough.
That's something
totally
that...
Totally young and dumb enough.
That's something that Dean talks about.
I'm young, dumb, and full of something else. I think it would probably, for me, depend on, like, what I would ask for. Like, that would be the thing. It's like, is that particular thing that I want worth it? Because, I mean, you know, in the episode, we have a guy who asked for something. He got it, but he still wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, like, think of the way that you're going out. And, like, the last days and, like, how, like, much of a wreck you would be and how full of, like, guilt and remorse and, you know.
But it's not just that. Like, Dean says something about how, like, you're not just giving up your life. You're giving up your soul
right.
to a demon.
Right.
So the first thing that would come across my mind if I met a crossroads demon and I knew what was going on, because that's the problem with, like, the other people besides George Darrow. Like, they didn't know exactly what kind of deal they were making.
Yeah, that's part of what I'm curious about. I mean, is it explicitly stated you have 10 years of great success and then you die and we take your soul forever, or is it specified that you get great success and when we're done with you, you die and we take your soul forever?
Well, I mean, that, like, it was 10 years is this particular legend's deal.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I mean, and that's stories like that where you quote unquote make a deal with the devil, like. That's their whole shtick, is that, like, you know, they never get into specifics because that kind of ruins the fun. It's be careful what you wish for kind of thing of, like, oh, yeah, it's like we give you 10 years or whatever it is you want and then we take your soul. But, like, they don't tell you, you know, like, oh, but, like, you also like die a horrible, horrible death, and your soul goes to hell, and just it's all, like, it's just not, because then no one would take it. Like, it's just not worth it.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know though, right? Because all right, like, they get your soul. What am I doing with my soul? You could go to hell anyway.
Yeah, I know. Already know. I just
do it.
I'm driving the bus.
You know, like, I get to have 10 awesome years, or I can have like a bunch of crappy years, and then I'm going to hell anyway. You know, it's like, I feel like the deal with the devil is the one to make.
Would your years be so crappy if you weren't granted a wish?
I mean, they're not great. They're not amazing. I'm not, you know, like, I would wish for some amazing like Kim Kardashian life or something. You know, like.
Is that so great? I don't know.
I mean, everybody kind of, likes, like, your oily butt.
She doesn't have to work or do anything. She just sort of has money and clothes and
That seems so like hollow and unfulfilling and boring. Like,
we have different ideas about a dream life. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess it's also easy for me because I'm a pretty hardcore atheist, so I don't believe I have a soul anyway. Yeah, so like, if somebody was like, I'll give you whatever for your soul, I'd be like, yeah, all right. Yeah, give me but that, you know.
That's okay. There are two points I was going to make. So the people who were making that deal that didn't call the demon, like, it's some person going up to them in a bar saying, it's like, if, you know, you can have anything you want. You just, you know, in 10 years, you got to, you know, give me your soul. And they'd be like, okay, sure. That's not fucking true.
Yeah.
Like, they wouldn't believe them. And then it happens. And then over 10 years, they're like, oh. Oh,
crap.
Damn, dogs are ripping my body apart.
But like, if that happened to me and I knew what was going on, like, the first thing going through my mind would be like, holy shit, there's an afterlife and we have souls, like, and there's magic. Like, I wouldn't know what I'd want anymore because my whole world would be flipped upside down because I don't believe in any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. And you're also operating under the assumption that, like, oh, like, they can have my soul. Like, it won't matter. Like, who's to say that, like, you won't be present for the entire thing? You know, like, suffering in hell, an eternity of torment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess, it's like I said before, I'm just assuming that that's where I would go anyway. If that was, like, an option for, if, like, the afterlife was real, I think that's where I'd be headed. So yeah. I'm not really that worried about it. So I'm going to go ahead and tell Satan, if he's listening, come and visit me at the crossroads. We'll
you basically,
this.
You don't want to be unplugged. You want to stay in the Matrix.
We will handle
because
this.
Because this steak tastes that good.
Whatever. Just give me, you know, give me my wish. Come on.
Oh, yeah. I could eat steak all the time and never get big.
Never get big?
The only thing I would want to wish for and be granted magically, I don't think a crossroads demon could do for me. Because, like, if I have success, I want it to be my own. Like, I'm too addicted to hard work to just have it given to me. The only thing that I want.
And that's part of what makes the reward of it is that you, like, you did that and you worked hard and achieved it. It's like, if you just, if it's just handed to you, like you didn't do that.
Yeah. The only thing that I would want is more time so that I could do more work. Like, my biggest fantasy is, like, just being able to be reborn in my own life, but with all the memories of everything that happened. So, like, I know.
Like, that,
get busy early.
So if I could trick a demon into being like, 10 years from now, you take my soul. Okay, my wish is to go back to when I was born and relive my life. And then I'd get to live until 40. And then be 40 years.
That'd be awesome.
Tricky.
That would be pretty cool. But I don't know if a demon would buy that.
Probably not.
It's possible.
I mean, for the, you know, in order to get your soul, I mean, because souls are apparently like a high commodity in the demon community. I feel like they might make the deal.
Yeah.
They really want those souls for some reason.
And, you know, eternity is a really long time. 40 years is not so long.
Yeah. Yes,
there's a balance to consider if you believe in the balance, in that balance.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, I just told a lot more than I expected to on this podcast.
Yeah, well, everybody now knows I just want, like, today, a vapid Kim Kardashian life in exchange for my soul. You know, how did she
plus
get
you'd
it?
Be, you'd sure be married to what's-his-name, and nobody wants that.
I mean, Kanye's beautiful. I'll take it. That's fine with me.
Maybe on the outside.
And
well,
North?
I mean, North is, and North is gorgeous, yeah.
Northwest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
At Evan Hudson's house, He admits to Sam and Dean to having made a deal with the demon to save his wife from dying of cancer. Dean suggests that he go and summons the Crossroads demon and try to exorcise it while Sam protects Evan. Sam is wary of the plan. Like Dean, he has been wondering if their father made a similar deal with the yellow-eyed demon for Dean's life, and is wary of Dean's motives. But as they hear the howling of the hellhounds, he agrees to go along with the plan. Dean summons the Crossroads demon, and tries to lure her into the Impala, which is parked over a devil's trap. When she realizes the trap and begins to taunt Dean about how much he has suffered since John's death, she offers to bring him back in exchange for Dean's soul to be claimed in 10 years' time.
Just, I love how nobody mentions their mother.
Yeah.
That's all right. She's way past now.
Well, they don't...
Way past her freshness date.
They don't necessarily have her soul to bargain with, although they could lie. Or are they required to tell the truth in this deal, more or less?
You think they could still bring her back to life?
I don't know.
I mean, at least a simulacral... I've never been able to pronounce that. I just read it.
You just read it.
Something that they'll feel more or less is correct, even if it's not necessarily. After all, they were only kids anyway.
They wouldn't know.
They wouldn't necessarily. Yeah. It looks like mom. It smells like mom. It's mom. Something
cookies
like that.
Are right. Who
the
knows?
Cookies are right. Yeah, if the cookies are right.
Well, that's the thing. I guess that's why they're playing the dad card, because they're much more attached to their dad.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And more recently so, yes. When she realizes the trap and begins to taunt Dean about how much he's suffered since John's death, she offers to bring him back in exchange for Dean's soul to be claimed in 10 years' time. I said that all. Okay. just as it appears that Dean might make the deal, the Crossroads demon realizes she's trapped under a devil's trap painted on the water tower she is standing under. Nice steering, Dean.
Did that fool you?
Nope. I knew.
You saw that coming?
I did. Well, I was like, well, what the hell's that doing there, you know? Oh, look, it's round. I wonder what's painted underneath it.
Meanwhile, Sam and Evan stand inside a protective circle as the hellhounds approach. The demon refuses Dean's offer of her freedom in exchange for Evan Hudson's life, so he begins to exorcise her while Sam and Evan desperately try to avoid the hellhound. Finally, the demon relents, and with a kiss to Dean, breaks Evan's deal and calls off her hellhound. While Dean initially considers continuing the exorcism, he instead keeps to his deal and breaks the devil's trap. However, the demon taunts him about John's fate. But before he can do anything to it, it flees its meat suit, leaving behind a confused young woman. Back in the Impala, Sam and Dean talk about the deal their father made. Dean feels undeserving, and while Sam tries to convince him otherwise, he asks whether Dean considered accepting the Crossroad Demon's deal. Dean does not answer.
So, because the demon left the meat suit,
yes.
Does that mean it's gone?
Well, no more than any of the rest of them.
So
that have
then
been
what about
out.
The one guy with the wife? I mean, are they still coming for him? Or?
He made the bargain with her.
Yeah, the bargain
And
was...
he has to trust her word.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how it works.
All right.
And supposedly, you know, the deal is a deal. You know, a deal is a deal, and it's a word is bond kind of situation.
Okay.
I guess. So who wins this? Sam versus Dean.
God, I say Dean, just because that whole part with the demon, like,
yeah,
like I mean, yeah, it's got TV magic. So you know, of course, the demon fell for his plan, but like, it was a nice. Like complicated plan, and he sold the crap out of it. Like,
yeah, he had a
good actor.
He had a plan B on the whole situation. He wasn't, you know, he was like, well, I've tried to get her in here, but if I don't get her in here, I'll steer her over this way. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also wrote in my notes. I think Dean made it look like he was still going to exorcise her after, like, they made the deal just to intimidate her. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that was just acting too, because you know. Because the demon's, you know, he's making a reputation for himself. And he's making sure, like, this demon is going to stick by her word, because then she know, like, I'll track her down and send her back to hell anyway. But I don't think he actually was going to do that. That was just another chess move.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I'll go with Dean as well. Same reasons.
Yes, I was going with Dean.
Yeah, I'll go with Dean. Dean's the one who, you know, he did the most stuff and saved the day. You notice Sam didn't really do much in this episode.
He didn't. You're right.
And I'm going to go with Dean. I figure he did a good job. Get the
He was the one who did the thinking.
He did the thinking, got the bad thing.
There you go. All
right. Good job, Dean. You win.
Dean wins. Do you have a quote burning a hole in your pocket, Allie?
I have a ton of quotes.
Ooh.
Not as many as Croatoan, though. But
well, as the,
I just have one.
You guys go first.
Yeah, we better have John go first.
All right. Secretary's name is Carly. She's 23. She kayaks, and they're real.
You know, I usually like to be warned before I'm violated by demon tongue.
I don't know if I have a quote.
You don't even have one?
I don't even know if I have one. I didn't write any down.
Allie, give him one of yours.
Oh, I'm looking at a list, but I don't really see any that are like...
You don't need to have a quote. Be a rebel. Here.
You mean lazy?
Hey, I'm
we do our own thing.
I'm editing and publishing this thing.
Yeah.
All right then.
I swear, if it's another freaking Pomeranian barking in the neighbor's yard.
Nice. There's the rest of the scene that John quoted, when Dean's like, "And I don't know what that means." Sam's like, "You mean Carly's MySpace address?"
Yeah. Was that dated even at the time?
Let's see.
It feels like it would have been.
2003 was like the MySpace.
Yeah, because like
Zenith.
I think it would make it even funnier if MySpace was already dated, because it's dated and Dean still doesn't know what it is. No, like it's old news and Dean doesn't know what it is.
MySpace was still a thing at the time.
Was it?
Probably.
Yeah, MySpace was actually even still like a thing as far into like, you know, 2009.
Really?
Yeah.
So Facebook didn't go public till like 2006 or 2007.
Mm-hmm. I went directly from LiveJournal to Facebook, so I didn't have an intermediate there.
No, MySpace, because MySpace got bought out. I forget by who.
Yeah.
But,
I remember.
It was still around, but nobody really used it except for bands. Like it peaked in popularity, but then Facebook took over, and now Facebook is. I was with my family, and they're like, "Oh my god, did you know that Facebook is for old people?"
It is.
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Like one of my sister's friends is a teacher, and was like, asking their class, like, "So what's a good way to like get in touch with you for like updates or anything?" And the kids were like, "Oh, Instagram."
Yep.
Yeah. And he's like, "What? Like, would I take a picture of the homework?" Like, yeah. Why not?
Take a picture of the answers to all the tests. I remember in 2009, Fox and Dollhouse were doing this contest where you had to design Eliza Dushku's MySpace page. I didn't win.
I have a bunch of other quotes.
Okay,
they're talking about black dogs. And Dean's like, "I bet they could crap the..." I screwed up. Let me start over.
Okay.
So they're talking about black dogs, and Dean says, "I bet they could hump the crap out of your leg."
Yeah.
Why does the dog got to be black?
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing that I liked. This is a weird turn of thought, because Black Dog is a Led Zeppelin song. It'd be so cool if they, like... had a tie-in with like Led Zeppelin and supernatural stuff, because Dean loves Led Zeppelin. But like they're talking about all the Robert Johnson songs that are about supernatural things, and they're all real songs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it's like, I watched this episode the first time, I'm like, oh my god, like, maybe Robert Johnson really did sell his soul to the devil.
Conspiracy theory. Someone get Jesse Ventura on the phone.
So on the DVDs, this isn't a part of the quotes. On the DVDs, do they have the coming soon segment at the end of this episode?
Yes. Yes, they do. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's in the Netflix stream as well.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Hmm.
Because it feels like they were doing it because they needed to fill time. Oh, what, like maybe they came up short in the episode.
No, they usually do that before the half season break.
Yeah, I was going to say, was there a hiatus between?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Oh, maybe there was. Okay.
November,
never mind.
Yeah, November 16, and following that was December 7. That was not too much of a break, but
it was that's about a month.
That's close to a month. I guess that's worth it in terms of today's TV.
Or yeah.
Even
yeah,
that.
It's so weird because it's like when you're watching it when it's new, it's so exciting because it's like a trailer for
right. Well, they managed to work it into like the motif of the show itself, so it's, you know, it just says soon, and it's cool. Like, ooh, nice.
But it's weird, like, watching it on Netflix or on DVDs. It's like, I'm just going to go and watch the next episode. Why are you here?
Yeah, that's why I didn't like it. I was like, well, don't tell me all this stuff. Like, I'm about to watch the episode. Like, don't ruin it for me.
They should change it to really, really soon.
Coming up right now.
Are we, any more quotes, or should we move into feedback section? We have some.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move along to feedback. I have an audio segment from Nutty, and I have a feedback from Heidi.
I can read the thing from Heidi. Heidi says, "Hey guys, Sam is jealous of Dean's police record. Funny. So this episode deals with a demon, hellhounds, hoodoo supplies. Full of fun, right? Also, the painter guy is really depressing. Crazy invisible dogs are kind of scary, especially when they're ripping pant legs and skin. I was getting annoyed with all of Dean's comments and was glad when Evan had actually made the deal for his wife's life. Of course, that hit close to home for the boys. I love when the dog is at the door and Sam quickly steps inside the circle. Invisible dogs scared him too. Did you think Dean would make the deal with the demon? That was pretty conniving, getting her into that devil's trap. And then he gets to make out with her, of course. Dean is in a very dark place. Hopefully, he lightens up soon. Until next time, Heidi."
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Hey, Heidi.
Yay.
Hello, idiots. This is Nuke Joss. I am really sorry that I'm not able to make the recording for Crossroads Demons tonight. Unfortunately, it just happened to fall at a time that I'm not going to be able to be home. So I decided to leave some voice feedback. I really love this episode because, well, first off, just got that whole blues thing going. And, you know, as we go through the episode, you only hear one piece of classic rock, and that's at the very end. But throughout the entire episode, you've got some nice blues songs going on in the background and kind of laying the scene. And you can kind of sympathize with Dean in the beginning of this, you know. All right, these guys made a deal. Why do we have to save them? And then you meet Evan, who, yeah, he made the deal, but he made the deal to save his wife. And of course, it's in direct reflection of what's going on with Dean and what his dad did. But it also opens up this possibility of the Crossroads demon. And I don't know, there's just something about that. Something about the Crossroads legend that is just really interesting to me. And it makes you wonder, you know, what's the possibilities here? What would you ask for? And is anything ever really worth it? I mean, it's one thing to think, okay, I'm just going to die in 10 years. But it's another thing to think, okay, wait, there is such a thing as the soul. And I lose my soul and my soul is going to hell. And then it gives the idea of, you know, John Winchester is in hell. And what is happening to him? Anyway, I hope you all enjoyed this episode. I look back fondly on this episode. I don't know. I just really like it. And looking forward to hearing the review.
Thanks, Nutty.
Hey, thanks, Nutty.
Thanks, Nutty. Are we ready to rate this?
Oh, crap. Let's do it.
Is that a no?
I actually have to get going.
Sure.
Because my guest is here.
I figured.
It's band practice night.
All right.
So, unfortunate news I want to share with you first, though. I'm not with Borrowed Trouble anymore.
Oh.
Feel free to keep pimping them, because sure. The three guys that I play with, they're still playing together, and they all played on that track for the theme song, and they're great. I think the new stuff they're doing is more like what the theme song sounds like.
Oh, cool.
And that's why I'm not, like, going in a different direction. I played acoustic rhythm guitar, so it's not really necessary for that sound.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I'm starting my own band.
Ooh.
All right.
So if anyone wants to find me, go to facebook.com/I'mTheWonderBand, and you can follow all my musical exploits there.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Cool. And hey, you know, they change up the open on this... Or, you know, it's not an opening theme, but they change up the open every once so often on this show. So if you ever come up with something and you want to share and update, you can update us.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, brand new theme
Feel
song.
Free.
Yeah. Ooh.
Sounds exciting.
It's not. I always want to do a new recording at some point, too, so I'll just make a new song.
There you go.
If you like. Sorry, I have to cut out. Okay. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming, and you've already pimped everything. So
yeah. Give us your rating.
Ah! Well, I like this episode. I always liked this episode. I thought it was, like a well done Monster of the Week story, and of course, like I said, I love how it ties into history. But then the other great thing about it is how it ties into the show mythology, mm-hmm. and you know, Dean and Sam finally they finally say something about what happened with their dad, because like obviously they've suspected something, but they've never said it. So now they actually said it, and then they found out the truth in the same episode. So that was cool to get out, you know, in the air. But I wouldn't say it's still not, like, one of my favorites, I guess, I would say. So I'll give it an 8 out of 10. Demon deals a free set of steak knives.
Mm. Thanks, Ollie.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Have fun. And, I gotta send some Croatoan feedback too, because I watched that, but I'm not gonna be able to join you. But my notes are mostly quotes, so I hope you enjoy that part too.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Have a good night.
Thank you.
You too.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
I really, really like this episode. It just, you know, same with No Exit. You know, it really it's really cool how they take real world elements and tie it into their supernatural storylines, and it's, you know, it's a little different, you know, it's dealing with the blues and you know, we went really far back into the past and to tie everything together, and plus hellhounds are awesome, they're all invisible and they're making claw marks and stuff, and it's a really neat effect, and So I enjoyed this episode. So I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 chicken bones.
Good. I liked it. It wasn't my very favorite-ist, but it, you know, it had a great pace. It kept moving. A lot of really, you know, raised some good questions. It was good. I'm going to give it a... 8 out of 10 rusty water towers placed in the middle of nowhere for no reason.
Story expediting.
You could call it that.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, and I liked, once again, No Exit. I mean, using someone real to illustrate the story or to be part of the story. And I agree that, I mean, it's a little bit better. I mean, it's... I like that they're usually sticking with something that's direct mythology, urban myth, or something you know, real, or the real story that people use, like Robert Johnson, instead of just saying, oh, you know, it's the purple-eyed person, for instance, for no apparent reason, you know, and just saying that's the bad guy and that's all that's going on or something, you know. I think it's better than that. So I'm going to go ahead and give this one 8.5 demon tongues out of 10.
I really liked this episode a lot. Yeah, I like the whole hoodoo element. I like that it took place in Mississippi. It didn't really look like it. Or I guess we're assuming it did. I know the Robert Johnson part did. Maybe the rest not so much as we discussed. But anyway, I liked it. I thought it was fun. I loved that it tied into the show's mythology, because I feel like we don't always get enough of that, like the overarching mythology with John, etc. So yeah, I gave it 8.5 out of 10 scoops of graveyard dirt.
Yay!
And that gives us a total of 8.4, which is very good. It's the second highest of the season.
It was good. Good episode. I enjoyed it.
It was very solid.
It was good.
All right. Which one's what's the highest?
The opener in My Time of Dying.
Oh, that was really good though. So that's a tough one to beat.
I'm good with that.
All right. Well, what is our homework for next time?
Next week's homework is season 2, episode 9, Croatoan.
I didn't have any predictions. It totally didn't ring a bell. I mean, it rang some sort of vague, distant bell for me, but it was like, I'm not sure what that is.
It just did nothing for me. I had no idea.
I kept thinking of Krakatoa, like the volcano.
Yeah.
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 Release the Kraken.
Kraken rum. Croatoa. Yeah.
Kraken crotch.
Croatian? Did they get that wrong? Is it just Croatians? All right. Well, I think I think we can wrap that up for tonight, because after all, we're faking this and we're actually doing 2 episodes tonight. We'll be talking again real soon. So,
yeah.
Hey, everybody! Happy hunting!
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
What the hell was that?
Bye. Bye.
Seriously.
Don't touch my kitty.
You have been listening to the IdgitCast from QuadrupleZ.com. Visit our Facebook group at facebook.com/IdgitCast. Email us at IdgitCastPodcast@gmail.com. Please use the episode title in the subject line. You can call our voicemail line, 206-309-9389. Please name the episode early in your message. The theme song for the IdgitCast was written and performed for the show by Borrowed Trouble, and the vocalist is Allie Jones. Find the band at borrowedtrouble.com. The closing music you are hearing right now is Too Good, written and performed by Jack Mangan and is used by permission. Find more music by Jack, as well as humor, fiction, discussion, and a variety of other goings-on at jackmangan.com, home of the Deadpan Podcast. Would you like to hear more from the hosts of the show? You can find John Pavlich on CastleCast, also from QuadrupleZ.com, and his own Sofa Dogs podcast at sofadogs.libsyn.com. Yvette can also be heard on Investigating Mars, also at QuadrupleZ.com. Get in touch with Darcy for apparel design needs at Facebook.com. Search for Cyan Fey Designs, CYANFEY Designs. And you can also hear Darcy and I on the Ghostlight podcast, an intercast for the television series Slings and Arrows, at QuadrupleZ.com.
Sam and Dean try to prevent a man from being torn apart by invisible hellhounds after having made a deal with a demon.
Wait, now, which was the subject of that sentence? Who made the deal with the demon?
The hellhounds.
The hellhounds.
Man. You know what, Paul?
Grammar cast.
I don't need to be here.
We have another visitor. Iris. Okay, well, take the monster spray, but don't spray too much of it, because then you'll have a wet bed. But you could go spray 2 more sprays. You only get 2 sprays.
Unless you're going off to the bathroom on your own, you just be quiet,
please. No, he wants monster spray now, too, I can tell.
Uh-huh.
That's it. I only have 1 thing of monster spray. Kids in bed. That's it.
One child gets eaten, one doesn't. That's the deal.